The Fastest Known Podcast is back. Welcome. Always good to be with you all. And today we're talking with someone from Europe. That's right. Europe has been huge in FKTs. Of course, they've been huge with ultra and mount running for ages. They've come on very strong with FKTs. And we're talking with someone who has done big FKTs on the continent of Africa and South America. She's originally from Brazil, currently living in Chamonix, France. Welcome, Fernanda Maciel.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here sharing this time with you all.
Well, Fernanda, your bio is just huge. I mean, you've been four times on the podium of UTMB World Rankings in the Ultra Trail World Tour, Skyrunning World Championship, and you've had the FKT on Aconcagua and Kilimanjaro. I'm both impressed and intimidated just talking with you. I was like, my gosh, where do you think? Where should we start?
Well, I born with a fighter family.
Now you're a fighter, so you're a capoeira. Yes. Oh, okay. This is a little different. So a capoeira and jiu-jitsu fighter. This is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, like my family, they are fighters. And so since I was young, I was fighting. But when I was a teenager, I started to run. And I just fall in love with run. A run for me in the beginning was kind of transport. I was going to school running and come back running. And then I had a house in the middle of the forest in Brazil. So that way I found myself like running to the waterfalls and come back. I really like nature. When I was a teenager, also I knew that my mission was to be close to nature. And this is the why after I became an environmental lawyer. And when I started running, I started running on the road. Like that time, like 20 years ago, I was just running on the road. I didn't realize it was a existing trail running that time, mountain running. But it was in New Zealand that I found the first time. Was my first experience running half marathon and marathon on the mountains. That was in 2006. Then I didn't come back to the road. I just was following my path, always running on the mountains.
Wow, New Zealand is a good place to make that transition, isn't it? New Zealand will get you out in the backcountry.
Yes, New Zealand is super wild, and the mountains super high, the trail super technical. It's kind of Patagonia, like the wind super strong. So New Zealand for me was a great base. I spent 10 months there just training. And for me, it was a super good moment to make this transition from the road to the mountain. That time I was doing also event racing. Like I was already like an endurance athlete. And then from endurance race, adventure race, and multi-sport race, after I was focused just in running, because running for me was the best sport for me.
Yes, you've done kayaking. Of course, New Zealand literally invented the multi-sport race. I'm not sure if people are aware of this, but the Southern Traverse, where it's kayaking and running and biking. And so you did all of those.
Yeah, I did some competition there, doing kayak and bike and run. So that was my base. But always I see that running was my best. Also, like I remember, I was a teenager and my best time in half marathon was 1 hour and 28 minutes. And the half marathon, my first half marathon in the mountain was the same time, was 1 hour, 28 minutes. Then I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, if a mountain is harder and I have this time, so I think I have some talent to run on the mountains because, and not on the road.
Oh, what a great story, Fernanda. So your time in the mountains was the same as your time on the flat road. You said, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, I think yes, and I enjoyed so much more like running the mountain. It's just like, it's just perfect for me. Give me so much balance. And the project, the FKT that I try is just because I've been running races. I keep racing. Like I've been 10 years doing ultra distance. I do the Ultra Trail World Tour, is the world circuit. Also, when you have the Sky Run World Championship, I run also in the ultra distance. So I love to be competing because that keeps my performance. But it's the fast enough time in high mountains that challenge myself, because I've been 10 years doing races, and always I think it is normal that I want to run longer and also higher. So this is the why I like to do. I just enjoy to be in these high mountains. It's just amazing. Just being silent. Usually these high mountains, they are very challenged, very wild, like no communication. I love to be without mobile for a while. So it's super cool. This kind of projects that I do in high mountains, I really like.
We'll talk about your FKTs in a minute, but just to continue with your transition from Brazil, which is very low, basic, mostly sea level, and then New Zealand, which is still fairly low, now Chamonix, which obviously is one of the alpine centers of the world. So how did you end up in France?
Well, because I live in 10, 11 years in Spain, in the Pyrenees, so just in the corner to Andorra and also Spain. So I spent many, many years there. And for me, it was a lovely place to live. But I was missing to be able to run higher. Like, for example, here in Chamonix, I have the Mont Blanc. And also I have the race Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc that each year I'm competing. So I was realized that I was spending more time in Chamonix than in my house. Because here I can run the glacier. I have some friends here. I have some sponsors that they have the base in Annecy. So for me, it was more logic to come here just to perform better in my trainings and to get more experience in high mountain.
Great. Well, what a place you are. And are you actually in Chamonix? Are you in Les Ouches or Argentière? Are you actually in the town of Chamonix?
Yes, I live between Chamonix and Argentière. It's a small chalet, in the base of the mountain. And here, I've been spending here 10 years, always the summertime. But since last year, I moved. So now I'm in the winter and also in the summer. And it's an amazing place. I don't like to be in the center of Chamonix. It's kind of crowded for me. So I prefer to be more, a little bit far, just to be more in my place.
Sure. In the center of Chamonix, there's millions of people like me. And you don't want to run into people like me. That would be terrible.
It's just because I'm kind of I'm not so much social person, so I prefer to be more hiding on the mountains.
Well, good call. Thank you for that. Since we're on the topic here, and you've done, you love the mountains, you've done outstanding FKTs, which we're going to discuss, but I have to ask right now, how about Mont Blanc? Obviously a very, very difficult FKT with, Killian. We've heard of Killian, and then his wife, Emily's been up there. So what have you ever thought about Mont Blanc?
Oh, yes, but Mont Blanc is kind of delicate because I usually can go to Mont Blanc by Les Ouches, is a normal route, and also by Agul de Midi, the teleferic. But it's to do the fast enough time, you need to cross the Bosson Glacier. So it's straight from the center of Chamonix to the summit. And that is very delicate route because you need to cross this glacier. And it's just 1 week in the end of June that is able, but some summer it's not able. So depend of the year, you can do that or sometime no. And so now that I live here, can be easier for me just to check, the glacier. And also I need someone faster as Killian. So sometimes it's not easy, but Mathieu Jacquemont is one very good friend of Killian, and he's a world champion in ski and also very good runner. So he invited me to try that. So maybe if not this year, let's see the conditions. Maybe another year I can try.
Oh, excellent. I think a lot of Americans are not familiar with that because Mont Blanc has serious glaciers. They're not just snow fields that are static. They're moving glaciers. Crevasses open up. They get covered with snow, which is what you want. And so you can do quick ski times, but they have to be firmed up enough to have good, fast conditions, but not opened up so you could fall in a crevasse. And so what you're saying is by living right there, you can strike when the conditions are correct.
Yes, and I've been talking with Emily also, and she said that it's super scary. And also the guys told me that it's super scary, the glacier, and as the crevasse, they are very open, especially in the summer here that is super hot. So it's very dangerous. So we needed to take it easy and take care, no? Like checking every detail of the glacier before you want to try.
Right. Emily did it in 2018. Killian 2013, but like you said, you have to have a partner because you want to be roped.
Yes, you have to be roped, and also if it's someone that is really, really fast. So this is the why it's not so many guys and not so many girls that they can do that, you know. So it's a special FKT.
Well put, very special. And with climate change, this opens up this whole other discussion because it's getting warm. Sometimes the Eigerwand, the Nordwand, the north face of the Eiger cannot be climbed because the rock fall. The rock's normally frozen in place, and if it's too warm, they unfreeze, the rock fall is tremendous. So it's possibly some of these glaciers might not be in good conditions for some years to come.
Yeah, always here in the Alps, you have this problem. Usually like in the summer, well, I experience so bad time, like falling down in some rock avalanche here. So it's kind of scary. And this year, I also have another project here in the Alps and also in Mont Blanc. But as you said, I needed to wait for the condition. Let's see if it's possible or not, because it's very delicate here during the summer.
Wow. Interesting. Well, good for you for being there so you can get on it when the conditions are correct and stay away, as Emily recommended, when the conditions are poor. So, yeah. I think an old friend once told me, here's the three rules. First is have fun. Second is be safe. And third is go fast. Now, keep them in the proper order, right?
Yeah, for sure. Always. I want to come back home. Yes. Also because you do that for push our limits for sure, because you want to know how my body and my mind can be like in high altitude. I mean, really interesting about the high altitude world. But in the same time, this is very strange because you never know how your body can respond for that. You know, like usually you feel very fit here on the ground and like in sea level, then you go up. It's like a Aconcagua. Then you go 7,000 meters high and it's completely different, you know. And so it's good to have like slowly I'm getting this experience. And also I know I didn't born in Malaya. I born in Brazil. So I have so much respect that for me is a big challenge to be in high altitude, but it's not impossible. So I think with a good training and with this experience that I had during 10 years running in ultras in mountains, and also I've been spent so much time in the Alps, I think this is a good pace, like just to try a little bit, but always come back home.
We like the mountains, but we want to come back home after we've been in them.
Yeah.
You have great experience at high altitude. Aconcagua, that's just close to 7,000 meters. Obviously, the biggest mountain in the Western Hemisphere. It's the biggest mountain outside the Himalayas. And you really worked at that one, I think. It was 2016, and you were there for weeks, and you posted a couple of really good times.
Yes, I tried in 2015. It was very good weather. The condition was perfect, but I was super sick. I was sick before the attempt, but I tried just because I had these days on the mountain, and then I was not good. So in 2016, I come back. So I was until 6,000 meters high again. So it was my second time that I was trying there and I failed. So I couldn't reach more. And then I come back to Brazil. I rest 10 days in Brazil, just eating, trying to recover my muscles. And then after I come back. And so I could do that in my third attempt. And for me, it was like, it was incredible achievement because when you are there, you realize that it's so far and so high. And especially during the night, it's so hard because during the day, you can see two rivers crossing. But during the night, these rivers, they become 10 rivers. And with glacial water, you cannot get wet feet. Otherwise, you're frozen then. Is so many details and also so easy to get lost, especially during the night. So it's like, it's a very special mountain, special for the high atmosphere pressure. And, yeah, it's a special mountain with a very hard wind, a strong wind.
El Viento Blanco. Right?
Yeah, Vento Blanco. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy wind. But it's amazing mountain.
Right. Really high, really dry, really cold, really windy. It's so different. You go up there and there's no trees. There's no bushes. There's no grass. It's bare rock and snow.
Yeah, it's lots of rock avalanche everywhere. It's strange, but it's super cool mountain. It was a big challenge for me. It was my first very big mountain. Before I was just doing the 4,000 meters here in the Alps that already give you a base, but not from 4,000 to 7,000 is a big difference.
Well, you had two attempts. So you did from Plaza de Mulas, the base camp, which is up there fairly high. I think it's at 14,000 feet. I forgot that in meters. And obviously got the FKT going up and back from base camp. But then a couple weeks later, 19 days later, you did it from the highway and back. So you really worked at Aconcagua.
Yes, I tried always. My objective was from the entrance park, but there was so much avalanche going on and I was so much mud, slides, very strange terrain that I could run from the entrance park. So first I did the fastener time by the base camp because it was more safe. And then after when the condition was better, so I did from the highway to the top and come back.
Wow. You worked at it. How long? Well, this was your third time. You were there the previous year, but how many weeks were you on the mountain in February of 2016?
So I went to Vallecitos. It's a valley just behind Aconcagua. This valley is it's outside of the Aconcagua Park. So I spent 3 or 4 days there. 4 days, but 3 days training. So training the mountain that they call El Plata is 6,000 meters high. So that was my training before. So I went there alone and I was training, like just to check in my body, how was that? And I was kind of fit. Then I come back and I get inside the park. So I did the summit. Just to check all the route in 5 days. Also for the camera and the photographer to acclimatize. But they couldn't, but well, I tried. So I did in 5 days very slowly, just like to check. And then I came down and I did the fastener time by the base camp with very hot condition, very snowstorm. So my time wasn't so good, but it was the fastener time. Then after I just left the mountain. For me, it was too much. I spent there like maybe 10 days and I was completely tired, mental and also my body. I lost my muscles and I really need to go out of the park because the conditions was very bad. And then I left the park for 10 days. For sure, I lose acclimatization and I lose some performance. But then I was like, just my motivation was growing. And then I remember that my family, they were like against that I against myself, like, to come back to Aconcagua. And also my sponsors, they say, like, don't come back because it's very strange conditions. It's very dangerous. But I was feeling fit. I was feeling like that was my opportunity. I was training during 1 year, like feeling good, you know, training for the races and also for this mountain. And then I come back, and I remember when I come back to Mendoza for the big city, I got a taxi. I went there. So I did one run until 6,000. I came down, and the next day I slept and I rest for 1 day, and then I did the fastest time. So then I became the first woman in the world able to do that. And I was very happy because I had so much friends, like Nuria Dominguez. She was a world champion in half marathon, and she tried, she couldn't. Liz Alberto Hernando, that is a 3 times world champion. She tried, he couldn't. Then Emily Forsberg in 2015, she tried there. She stopped, she couldn't. So, like, I know so many runners that, runners that, the people they know then, they tried, and also like some guides, lots of American guides, women that they also run ultra. They tried each year, like, as many people they try, like, to run to the summit and back, but it's very hard. And so for me also was impossible. But yeah, I think it was so much persistence. I was so much focused and believed so much in myself at the end that, yeah, everything works well.
Wow. Yeah, I never tried. You mentioned that other people have tried, and I didn't try going from the highway. When Peter Backman and I went up there, we started at Plaza de Mulas and went to the summit and back in 1 day. We felt good about that, but starting from the highway, ooh, wow. Like you said, you have to do the whole Orcones Valley at night, those stream crossings. And so by the time you get to base camp at 14,000 feet, you're tired. And then you got to go up to 23,000 feet. So highway and back is very rare.
Yes. Wow, it's crazy. It's a very long way. And very tough way. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Yeah, and also like so much avalanche. So I was super scared all time crossing avalanche. And I think I was today. If you ask me if I can come back there and to do a better time, I say no. I don't want to come back there anymore. I was like, it was enough for me. And I was so scared. And so it was amazing experience, but and also tough experience. I don't want to come back.
Right. 22 hours, 52 minutes. You had the FKT. You were the first woman ever to do it. It's in the bag. Done. Good job.
Thanks.
Now, after that, you went to Kilimanjaro, which is a big mountain, one of the 7 summits, obviously, and tallest mountain in Africa, but actually a lot lower, a little bit easier. So Kili must have been quite a bit different than Aconcagua.
Yeah, Kilimanjaro I did in September. So it was first week of October. It's the kind of summertime there. And for me, it was perfect. I did Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc because always my focus is the races and after the project. So I did Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc and I couldn't complete. I broke my hand and I froze my eyes when I was training in Matterhorn. So I bet I didn't had a good race, but that was good because I didn't race and I wasn't so tired. So I thought I think now is the perfect time because I'm feeling fit. My body is okay. Right now I recovered a little bit my hand and also my eyes. So I can go to Kilimanjaro. So it's for me, it was fine because it's not so cold. So it's kind of tropical, weather in the base. So I start off, Umbu Gate is, 1,700 meters high. And then from there, to the summit. So it took to me 7 hours to the summit. And so I was the second woman able to do that running. So Anne-Marie was the first woman. And also I was following the path of Killian and Carl and Anne-Marie. So I did the same route that they have done before. And was super cool. I could beat Anne-Marie in 2 hours or 3 hours. And I don't remember. But it was just an amazing experience. I felt so good. because it's not so high of as Aconcagua. And I think the experience in Aconcagua gave me so much more confidence, and also my body was more adapting high altitude. And I just felt great. And I didn't train at all. So I went there 3 days inside the park. I didn't do the summit before. So I just was training there for 3 days. And then I came down. I was feeling super strong, super good. And then I did the push to the summit and back to the gate. And was great. So it was a very fast time. It's 10 hours, 6 minutes, the total.
That was very fast, right? So you're good up, you're good coming down, and listeners can go on the website and see what you're referring to, which Carl Egloff was on our podcast a couple of months ago. He noted that in Kilimanjaro, it's traditional to go up one route and come down a different route, and that's the standard FKT route.
Yeah, this is the FKT's route.
Yeah, the well-groomed Marangu route, Coca-Cola route, that's not how people do it for FKTs. But it's all on the website if people want to go there and look. Well, did you like being in Africa? Africa is a little different. How did that part? Anything you'd like to say about that?
Oh, I love Africa. Oh, my God. I remember I was just training after the FKT. I went out of the parking and close to the hotel that I was in Tanzania. I just went for a run, and I was running with the elephants. And for me, I'm from Brazil. So in Brazil, we have so many animals that is like kind of normal. But running with elephants, huge elephants, for me, was the first time. And I just fell in love. It's a super wild place, super poor place. I also like, as you, I do the White Flow project, so in Africa I was helping the Kilimanjaro orphanage center, so I had also the opportunity to spend 2 days in this orphanage helping the kids there. So it was like so much good experience in Africa because they are so poor, so unique, and they miss so much love, and it's just like an amazing experience, like Africa, how the values that they have, you know, like a little food, a little portion of food for them is everything. And right. Then when you come back home and you have like your good meals at home, you realize how rich we are.
Right. Good point. So White Flow, and by the way, listeners should go to the show notes where they could find a link to your website, which is a really good website, or you could just Google fernandomaciel.com. Your website is excellent. You have a whole section on White Flow. So this is where you go some interesting places, like you mentioned, Kilimanjaro just right now, and try to participate in local projects. Is that correct?
Yes. So White Flow is personal project that I create, that always there is a big running challenge, but also another challenge that is I want to know more about the community that of the place that I'm doing my project. So in the case of Kilimanjaro, I was helping this orphanage center. So in the case of Aconcagua, I was talking with the council in the city, how to can do better about the recycling waste, rubbish inside the park of Aconcagua. So my first project was White Flow coming in Santiago. Is the famous pilgrim way that crossed from France all the north of Spain. And then that I did to help the children with cancer. I was running 900 kilometers. So each project I do, I try to help some community close to the place that I'm doing the project. And then that is a beautiful feeling because I can share with them my passion about running, about the sport. Also, I can donate then like food, products and money, and my followers can know them better. They can also help them. And this is like this exchange, this connection is super grateful, is super beautiful. And that, I feel very, very good with that because running is an individual sport. So sometimes I feel like empty because when I'm racing, it's just for myself, you know. When I'm running, I feel happy and I feel sad, but it's just for me. So creating this project, I could share with them the feelings that I have and also the compassion because always I want to help more.
Oh, terrific, Fernanda. I think that's become part of our sport now, hasn't it? Obviously, people want to go fast. They get a name. If they have a good number, right, they get their name on Twitter and Instagram and on the podium. But for people who really like and appreciate mountains, they appreciate your attitude, which is more holistic. It's about the whole mountain experience, which can include giving back, environmentalism, and having a spiritual feeling.
Yeah, I born in Brazil, so like my country, you can see the poor people very close to you. So I really learned with my dad and my mom since I was kid and teenager just to help them. So when like now living in Europe for 12 years, I was missing because here you cannot see poor people close to you. So for me, it's very important like to keep this this value, this compassion. I feel more comfortable if I can give and I receive also, you know.
Right. Excellent. I personally very much appreciate that. Now to start to wrap this up, obviously there's this global pandemic going on right now. We're having this conversation on May 18th. Now France, where you're living, has been shut down for 2 months. I don't think you were allowed to go more than 1 kilometer from your house on a run. Is it started to open up again, or what's the status now?
Wow, just open. So I'm living a dream right now. Finally, oh my God, it's so good to feel the mountain again, to feel cold, to feel the warm weather, to feel like the sunshine in my skin. It's crazy, and I like these sensations that for me was curious that right now I can go out and run the mountain and touch the rock and like get the snow. It's just like unbelievable. Oh my God. I had luck because when I knew we were 56 days in quarantine here. So when I knew that was like suddenly, you know, like the French president, he said like, okay, from 3 days you have the lockdown. So I bought the bike trainer and after 1 month, so because before I thought it was just 15 days, but then after I realized it was more, and then I found a treadmill also for me to run inside. But it's so different. It's so tough also because the treadmill, I have one wall in front of my face and another wall and another wall and my one box that I leave my clothes behind me. So it's strange, you know, like when you run just to in front of you, there is a big wall and you cannot see nothing and there is no wind and nothing. And then right now I'm just falling in love again with the trees and the sensations of cold. It's just what I love, you know? And I think I wish the best for the people that they are coming back, like being enjoying this freedom again. It's super, super good sensation.
Wow, that's an incredible irony, isn't it? So there you are in the Liao Valley, just up from Chamonix, one of the famous mountain places in the world, and you were running on a treadmill, looking out the window at Mont Blanc. That was dedicated of you, Fernanda.
No, I didn't have the chance to look for the Mont Blanc from my treadmill. But like before, I hate treadmill, you know, I hate it. Like usually I do one training in the treadmill per year. I don't like. And right now I just love. For me, it was the best toy ever that they create. I love treadmill. It's cool how you adaptate so fast with the situations. But I love the quarantine. I was enjoying so much the time because I was focused in my meditation, in my yoga. And usually I'm very I don't have time for that, and I'm always traveling. I'm always outside of home. And now being at home, I was just like feeling more myself, you know, like look inside and having this mental stretching. For me, it was very important. I think I became much a better person after that.
What a great attitude. And hopefully many people will get attitude adjustments and social and economic. And I don't think the world would be the same again after this pandemic, hopefully for the better. But what a great prognosis there. You did more yoga, more meditation, spent more time by yourself. And now after 56 days, you're back out there. I guess in the overall scheme of things, 56 days isn't that long.
Yes. Well, let's see. I'm missing the race feelings, you know, like to compete. So I don't know yet if I have Ultra du Mont Blanc happening this year. That is a big goal that I have. I have a big project in Kyrgyzstan, FKT also in Lenin Peak. Let's see if I can do that. So I have some future plannings. That is still like a question in my mind, you know, but I don't care. I keep training right now and I keep focused just to be in shape and try my best, just live in the present. I think it's now I've been learning a lot about time, you know, and time for me right now is just to be in the present, training, and let's see what the future will be.
Wow. Again, amazing attitude. You're making me feel kind of lowly again, Fernanda. I was intimidated interviewing you. I'm looking at your website going, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She's so fast. And now I'm getting that same feeling again. 56 days, I would have had a bad attitude. So congratulations on your good attitude.
Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of ultra, you know, like you spend so much time alone, by yourself and, you have your own company is fine. And always, everything that you plan always go wrong during a competition, never goes right. The food is wrong. Like everything is the bad nutrition, like bad feelings. If your legs is never everything 100%. I think it's normal when you are an athlete and you have been seen so many bad times in your career, so many good times in your career and also in your life, no? And I live alone here in the country. So I have my boyfriend that I'm super lucky because I think it's cool if in the quarantine you have someone to hug, the touch in the skin is, I think, is super important just to keep you like more fine. So I had the luck to have my boyfriend here, and I think it's everything is fine, you know. It's just how you see that. I think this kind of difficulty is just opportunity to learn.
Great, because like you said, in a race or a project, things are going to go wrong anyway. So you might as
always.
Well.
Always. Always go wrong. Always. Never go right. It's just, yeah. Like the good champions, like it's the good champions that they see what's going wrong and then they make the good decisions in like in just 3 seconds, you know? And it's always like that. You can ask if one runner had like 100% of flowing the best sensation ever in the world. Sometimes they say yes, but this is not true. And I'm sure in 1 minute or two, he was like suffering a lot and again, having some burning legs. So I think it's normal. It's just you need to administrate and see how you can see a good point from that.
So are you entered in UTMB this year?
Yes, I'm, next week they will say to us if the race, they will change the date or if they cancel. So let's see what's going on. And from that, after I can check the dates for my projects.
Right. Have to find that out first. Today again is May 18th. This podcast will go live this Friday. But before that, I think on May 20th, they're going to announce whether UTMB is on or not. So do you have any predictions? What do you think they're going to say about this?
I think they will cancel because it's 70 different nationality of runners that they compete here. And it's 10,000 runners. So it's a very delicate moment. I think it's not fast that like I can train here and someone US cannot train right now. So I think it's very, and cannot fly to Chamonix. So I think it's the best option for them is to cancel and start everything right in next year. But let's see what they say.
Right. That would be my guess as well. Because like you say, a race of 100 people, a few hundred, okay. But UTMB is not just one. It's five different races. It's like a festival, 10,000 people. That I don't think is going to happen this year. My guess only. But what you just said is really the crux of it. People can't train. And it'd be a little unfair, wouldn't it? So if you're coming from a country like Sweden, which basically didn't close down much, your training has been going very well. Well, if you're Spain, France, or Italy, you haven't been able to train. So that would be kind of an awkward equation.
Yeah, this is the why. And then I will be focused if it's not happening. I've been doing some FKT, running traverse and also climbing. So, usually, I did, last year in Rio de Janeiro. So I ran a very famous traverse in Rio de Janeiro, from one city to the other city by the mountains. And then after I climbed a big wall. And so I have the same project this year in Spain, in Picos de Europa, in a very classic climb place there. So I think this is a new thing that for me, motivate myself a lot. And it's cool. Like the people usually they like, and also myself, because the running, it's, you run fast is a kind of sport that you need just to push. And suddenly you stop, because you try your fast no time in that traverse. And then you stop and then you put your climb shoes and you start to climb. And it's crazy because you are so tired. Your legs are so tired and you really needed to be calm, and climb is a technical sport, and it's dangerous. You cannot fall. I love this mix of sensation of the sports, and I think if I can do this year again, I think I'm super motivated for this project, and let's see if it's possible. I hope so. After I'd like to share with you, it'll be a cool project.
Well, we hope to hear from you. I think we will hear from you. If these races are canceled, Peak Lenin, Kyrgyzstan, and Pico Europa, which I think, up in the Pyrenees again. So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You have some great projects coming up here. I think we're going to be hearing from you again, aren't we?
Yeah, I hope so, because it's big projects. And also, I'd like from Peak Lenin, if you don't know, like the people they don't know, there is 7,100 meters high, and this is in Kyrgyzstan, also like a very wide country. Let's see how is this mountain, and I think it's another step, you know, to high altitude, to high mountain, and for me, it'll be a great experience.
Right. Very good. Well, it's the year of the FKT, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a FKT, a female FKT there. It's 7 hours and 30 minutes up and down.
Okay. All right. 7 hours, 30?
Oh, no. Just up. Like just she up. Did in 7 hours, 30 minutes. It's a Russian girl, runner. And it's a very good time. Let's see if I can be able to beat her.
Oh, and the Russians, very tough, right?
Yeah, I know.
Don't get in a toughness contest with any Russian.
Yeah, but I love that. I think this motivates me a lot. Every day I wake up here and I'm training. Tomorrow I'm doing like 1,000. After tomorrow I'm doing more than 1,000 meters high. So every day here I'm just thinking about Desnivel, some meters going up, just a feeling that if I go to Lenin Peak, I really need to be fast in uphill hills.
Excellent.
It's cool.
It's cool. Well, if people remind everyone, if you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you feel like it, give us 5 stars. That enables other people to see and find the podcast. And if anyone feels like donating, there are no ads. There are no sponsors on this podcast. So it's only you that keeps us renting server space. Well, Fernanda, I think we're going to hear from you here a few months from now, and I look forward to that.
Yes, I hope so. I'd like to share my experience because, I love the mountains, and I think it's super cool when you have this spirit, this wild spirit, and you can share bonders, no? That usually I run ultras, but I think if you run longer and higher, I think it's you learn so much. So after you can, if you can share that, it's awesome.
Muchas gracias, merci, and thank you very much, Fernanda.
Oh, thank you. I hope like everybody that is listening here just try to explore more and keep safe. And using the mask, washing the hands. And it's a strange time, but I think it's a beautiful time for everybody right now.